welcome everybody to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is near his tail. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Well, we're just so glad to always have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We have you, Brother Jim, and just little old me.
All right. Well, what kind of prayer request you got for us tonight, Ruth?
Now, continue to pray for me, but I can see an improvement. The Lord is doing something. And it may shock everybody when you all find out what really is. It's not just cellulitis of the abdominal wall. There's something else going on in there. And all I can tell you is I think God's already doing something, so I'm just praising his name.
All right. Well, and everybody knows the prayer request that we've had on Thursday. So, and, of course, Emily has always her request for the nursing homes and hospitals, our first responders, and, of course, my prayer request for the police forces and our people in authority. All right, so with that, why don't we get rolling on here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus and have us a little hoedown as we get rolling on here tonight on the Six Eyes Wednesday Night Bible Study.
While traveling through sorrow, I'm on my way to glory land. I'll not turn back for some tomorrow. my child's here, I'll understand. I want to know more about my Jesus.
Yes, I
do.
I want to know more.
Then we'll end.
The apostles' message still applies today. For there are those who'd like to live their own way. They ignore the writing found in God's holy word, and his message gets compromised away. Oh, but I'll stand for the truth and for the light, and let his holy word through me keep shining bright. He's the one who gave his life for me at Calvary, so his word I just won't compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I'll raise my hand and take a stand for what is right. He didn't compromise for me when he died on Calvary. The word of Christ I will not compromise. So I won't compromise the message of the gospel.
Work where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at 6eyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, River takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday, program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with AJ and the Squad.
With AJ and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. And now it is time for our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
All right, and we'll hear that one more time.
And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
And this is our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, found in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, which tells us that those who are not found in the book of life written in heaven will be cast into the lake of fire. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. Amen.
If Jesus came to your house, I wonder what you'd do. Yes, if Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpected, just dropped in on you, oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest. And all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide some magazines put the Bible where they've been? Would you turn the radio off and hope he hadn't heard, and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? And would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? And would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the psalms you always sing and read the books you read? And let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? And would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or maybe, would you change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your very closest friends, or hope that they would stay away until his visit ends? And would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? Oh, it might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you.
He spoke with love and compassion. What they're doing up in heaven,
coming. Do they know it won't be very long that I'll drop my anchor on the other side of Jordan? Yeah, it's all right.
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, now it is time for Tim and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
And the Hebrew word for this week is Pesach. Pesach, P is in Peter, E is in Edward, S is in Stephen, A is in Adam, C is in Cat, H is in Howard. Pesach, again, the Hebrew word for Passover. In Paul's epistle to the Church of Corinth, he writes, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." And in the context of the Torah, the Hebrew Tanakh there in the book of Exodus, we read about the first Passover, the first Pesach, when God brought his people, children of Israel, out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And even so, it is through the ultimate Pesach, who is Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for the sins of the world and was raised again the third day, that you exit the house of bondage, the bondage of sin, death, and the condemnation, the very wrath of God no longer abides upon you. So, clear. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. So the question is, does God see the blood of the Pesach, who is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh? Does he see it on you? Okay, Kenny.
And that was our Hebrew Word of the Week by Tim. And we hope you all enjoyed. Amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over. Fly away to a home on God's celestial shore.
Reborn and raised a child of the King.
National Suicide Prevention Line, 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time. Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right. Tonight we're going to have a good little message about Jesus and Nicodemus, found in John chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 1.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews.
Okay, the first thing we find out about Nicodemus, he is a Pharisee, and he's also a ruler of the Jews. All right, and we'll look at verse 2, John chapter 3.
The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him.
Now, the next thing we find out about Nicodemus is he comes to Jesus by night. Now, it's kind of conjecture on my part. Why does Jesus come? Nicodemus come to Jesus by night. Was he afraid to be seen with Jesus? Or was his question burning in his heart so badly that he couldn't wait for morning? Most likely, it's the first. He's afraid to be seen with Jesus because him being a ruler of the Jews, in verse 1, he's afraid to lose his position. Think about it. If he's a ruler of the Jews, he's a Pharisee, he's amongst the high Sanhedrin. If he goes and is seen with Jesus, most likely he knows he's going to lose that. So he slips in by night to with Jesus because he doesn't want to be caught. And he tells Jesus, we know that you're a teacher, a good man, come from God, and we know this because the miracles you do
can only come from God. All right, verse 3.
Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Ooh, I love Jesus' response here. Jesus drives right to the heart of the matter. Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter, and he tells Nicodemus, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You could do everything you want, Nicodemus. Dear listener, you could do everything you want. But unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Now, as we continue, we'll find out what being born again means. All right, verse 4, John chapter 3.
Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
Now notice what Nicodemus asks. Pretty logical question. When you say born again, it sounds like you go back to your mama's womb and are born a second time. Pretty logical question for Nicodemus to think up. So that's what Nicodemus is thinking. He's thinking that Jesus means you go back to mama's womb and you be born a second time, physically. But what does Jesus say? John chapter 3, verse 5.
Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
Now notice how Jesus answers. He answers in a way that Nicodemus knows what he's saying. If you are born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, how are you born of the water? Well, come on, think. When you were born from your mama's womb, your mother's water broke. So you're born of the water. And then how are you born of the Spirit? You're born of the Spirit not by your mama's womb, but it is a spiritual birth, is what Jesus is saying. So the second birth is spiritual, not physical, is what he's telling Nicodemus. All right, John chapter 3, verse 6.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Now you notice how he continues and repeats the point. Jesus drives it home. That which is born of the flesh, the water, is flesh. That's your physical body. But what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, John chapter 3, verse 7.
Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again.
So I love this. Jesus reiterates and drives home again. You must be born again. He repeats that. All right, John chapter 3, verse 8.
The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Now think about it. You're standing outside, and you feel the wind on your face. You might see the leaves on the trees blowing in a certain direction. You know it's coming from north to south or east to west. But you don't know where it originated, and you don't know where it's going to end at. That's what Jesus is saying. And so is those that are born from the Spirit. Verse 8, John chapter 3. Excuse me, John chapter 9 from verse chapter 3, verse 9.
Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be?
I like that, Nicodemus. He's bewildered now. He's bewildered now. How can these things be? All right, John chapter 3, verse 10.
Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?
Ooh, Jesus hit him hard, didn't he? Jesus hit him hard. Says, hey, aren't you a smart aleck? Aren't you a, don't you know everything? You're supposed to be a master, a Pharisee. You're supposed to be a ruler. You're supposed to be a highly educated man. You're supposed to be in college, dude. And you're supposed to know everything. What's the matter? Don't you know this? Okay, John chapter 3, verse 11.
Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness.
And isn't that the way it goes? We testify what we know, and yet people don't receive our witness. Amen. All right, John chapter 3 and verse 12.
I've told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly?
Now think about that one. He says, if I had told you earthly things, and you believe not, how are you going to believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And that's a pretty good question, Mr. Nicodemus. All right, John chapter 3, verse 13.
And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
Well, I like that. Now, that goes to show the omnipresence of Jesus. You see that? He says the Son of God was sent down from heaven, but yet he's in heaven. You can see his omnipresent right there. Right there. He says he's in heaven, but yet he's on earth. John chapter 3 and verse 14.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up.
Now you notice here, Jesus reminds Nicodemus of something in the Mosaic Law, the Pentateuch, how that in the book of Numbers, Moses was told to make a serpent, a brazen silver serpent, put it on a pole, raise it up high, so that the people being bit by fiery serpents would be healed. And when they looked upon the brazen serpent, they were healed. And Jesus said, just like that, the Son of Man would be lifted up, talking about on a cross. And those that look upon him would be spiritually healed. Hello, Isaiah 53, where it says, and by his stripes they are healed. Talking about spiritually. So hello, those charismatics that talk about that being a physical healing. That's not. It's a spiritual healing. All right, John chapter 3 and verse 15.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
Ooh, I love that. Those that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why? Because they looked upon him on the cross, and they get spiritually healed. And then the most of the famous verses, John chapter 3 and verse 6.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
You notice how much did God love us? He loved us enough to send his Son for us, to die for us. That's how much he loved us. Now notice something also in verse 17, John chapter 3.
For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Now you notice, his intent was not to condemn the world. That was not his intent. His intent is not to condemn you, dear sinner. His intent was to love you, to save you. He wanted you to be saved. Amen. And finally, John chapter 3 and verse 18.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
And you notice, it finally ends here with the text that we're going to read today. He that believeth on him is not condemned to hell, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Where? To hell, because he has not accepted or believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, it's heaven or hell. Which one for you? Amen. All right, now it is time to see if Pastor Bonnet could tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
She was driving that Friday on the way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It's been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air.
somebody's boy, is it yours or mine, that will fill the place in the drunkard's line? We see the mournful funeral train, the sodden heart and the reeling brain. We see low down in the noisome grave, the man who once had a soul to save. We can hear the wail of a helpless child and the drunkard's voice by drink made wild. The wretched homes and the wretched lives, the wailing babes and mourning wives. But somebody's boy will fill the place in the broken ranks of the drunkard's race. 'Tis somebody's boy, is it yours or mine? Oh, God, that will march in the drunkard's line. The drunkards are dying one by one. Their cups are full and their race is run. But their ranks are full as they were before. They silently pass to the unseen shore. Their ranks are as full for the boy today who drinks with the rest in a manly way. Will be in the future, the drunken thought, for a wasted life is the drunkard's lot. 'Tis somebody's boy, God grant it be, not the boy who he loved in his infancy. 'Twill be somebody's boy, for the power of sin is surely drawing our darlings in. So let us watch with tears and prayer that the boys we love will not march there.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right, very interesting poem. I want to say the poem deals with surrendering your child's life to the Lord. Because it was talking about the drunken son. And sometimes you want to help people, but the only thing you can do is really leave them in the hands of the Lord to guide their life. So, very interesting poem. I would say the common message between them is trusting Jesus to guide the life of those that may be out of control. I think that would probably be the best way I can word it now. It's really surrendering trust to Jesus to guide the life of those that may be out of control.
Well, when you consider the drunken boy and Jesus taking the wheel, I would say that's 100% correct when you say having control for those who are out of control, letting God take control. I'd say that's correct. So you got that one correct tonight.
Well, thank you. I sure appreciate that one. I don't have to blow up the buzzer. yes, that is what we have to do, though. Learn to surrender over to God for those that seem to be out of control. The best thing to do is to just give them over to the Lord. Amen.
Amen. And now we'll continue on with our program. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
When the beast shall walk among us, and then he shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they shall rise in every nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like
tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is darker than
tribulation.
When the seven seas are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Why a tribulation period? To understand why the tribulation period is 7 years long, one has to understand the time cycles under the Mosaic Law, which there are four mentioned in the Bible. First, we have the seven-day cycle, second, the seven-year cycle, third, the 49-year cycle, and fourth, the 490-year cycle. That's 490 years. For instance, the Israelites could work 6 days, but on the seventh they had to rest. They could plow the land for 6 years, but on the seventh year, they have to let it rest. They could own a slave for 6 years, but on the seventh year, the slave had to be set free. At the end of 49 years, in the 50th year, which was known by the Israelites as the Jubilee year, every man had to return to his own possession free of debt. Under Joshua, each tribe of the Israelites was given a portion of the land, the land of the Canaanites. Each individual could sell his land to another Israelite or borrow money on it, but only for 49 years. On the 50th year, the land had to revert back to the original owner free of debt. In this way, God keeps them in continual possession of the land and original ownership. Then there was the great time cycle of 490 years. This was known as the national cycle because everything which affected the land in general happened to Israel after 490 years and before the completion of the 500th year. You remember God told Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Genesis 12, 1, King James Version. From the time Abraham was told by God to the coming of the Israelites under Joshua into the promised land was 490 years. There are four great time zones from Adam to Abraham and four from Abraham to the first coming of Christ, and almost four great time cycles have elapsed since the first coming of Jesus Christ. That would make, from Adam until now, almost 12 time cycles, each one being approximately 490 years long, making a total of 6,000 years, 4,000 years before Christ, 2,000 years after Christ. The year 2000 will complete the 12th great time cycle. In Joshua 3:1 through 7, it tells us, figuratively speaking, that from the first coming of Christ until the second stage of the second coming of Christ, which will be at Armageddon in about 2,000 cubits by measure, or 2,000 years by measure. The reason it says about is because no one knows this day nor the hour when Christ will come, only God himself. So the word about is put in there by the Holy Spirit to show that mankind would not actually know the exact date of Christ's second coming. And as we look at our calendar day, we are confronted with the stark realization that the 2,000 years are almost upon us. The Israelites sinned against God, so God says he will bring upon that nation a great cycle of punishment. That is a time of punishment, which will be 490 years in duration. Scripture, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring him everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until this Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks, and these 62 weeks, the street will be built up again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come to destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be without a flood, or with a flood, and unto the end of war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week shall come to the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And with the overspreading of ominous turns he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's Daniel 9, 24-27 in your King James Version. So we have in those four verses of Scripture a breakdown relative to the great cycle of punishment, 490 years in duration, which has come upon the Israelites. First of all, a week means seven. It doesn't necessarily mean 7 days. It means seven of anything. Person could have a week of pencils or a week of clocks, because you see a week being seven. Is this particular incident from the book of Daniel? It's referring to a week of years. It says 70 weeks of years are determined. In other words, 7 times 70 would be 490. Let me explain in the following manner. This 490 years of crime, or 70 years of weeks of years, are accounted for as followed. The first section of 49 years, or even weeks, or 7 weeks, was to be visited on Israel during the building of the wall of Jerusalem in troublesome times. The wall of Jerusalem was begun to be rebuilt by Nehemiah in 446 B.C., and as recorded in Malachi, was completed in 387 B.C., making a total of 49 years for the complete project. So we know this verse, or this 7 weeks, means 49 years. Then the next allotment was to be 62 sevens, or 434 years. This was to be visited upon Israel in different woes, wars, famines, suffering. The 62 sevens, or 434 years, was visited from the time the wall was completed by Nehemiah into the coming and the crucifixion of the personal Messiah. If you will study Usher's chronology, you will find that it was 434 years from the completion of the wall of Jerusalem till Christ was crucified. Altogether, they made a total of 483 years. We arrive at the 483 years by adding the 49 years which were required to build the wall of Jerusalem, plus 434 years from the time the wall was completed until Jesus Christ came, riding into Jerusalem, making a total of 483 years. So we observed 480 from the original 490 years, or 70 times 7, and it leaves 7 years. If this 7-year period shows remains of the visit upon Israel, which will constitute the 7-year tribulation period. When Jesus Christ came the first time, the balance of the 490 year cycle, which amounted to 7 years, was to have been used up. But as you remember, the Israelites turned their backs on Christ and said to him, "Is that this the carpenter's son?" Then Christ turned his back to the Israelites and, stopping the Jews' historical clock, said to Simon Peter, "Behold, I do a new thing, Peter. Who am I?" And yet, remember, Simon Peter said, "This, thou art the Christ." And Christ said, "Peter, thou art Petros, a small stone. And upon this rock, Petra, referring to himself, I will build my church." Matthew 16 and verse 18 in King James Version. The period of time in which we are now living is known as the time of the Gentiles. The whole wide world is presently waiting for Christ's return, which will be two stages. First, he will come in the air with a great shout, and the church will be raptured. Then will begin the 7 years of the tribulation period, taking up the balance for the 490 years, shipped directly 2,000 years ago when the Jews rejected the Messiah, as stated by Paul in his epistle to the Romans. The 7-year tribulation period is to be visited in two allotments. Because the tribulation is to be so great during the 7 years, the Bible says, "And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." Matthew 24, verses 22. But, to the elect's sake, the 144,000 Israelites, who are the elect after the rapture, we the born again, are the elect before the rapture, as we're told in Daniel 8, 13 and 14, the 7-year tribulation period is to be shortened to 6 years, 4 months and 20 days following and allowing 30 days to the month. And this tribulation period is that element of time period between the rapture of the church and the second stage or visible appearance of Christ's second time on the earth. Second stage of Christ's second coming will take place in the building battle of Armageddon. In the following pages of this particular lesson, I want to show you from the Word of God exactly what will take place in detail during the 6 years, 4 months, 20 days, tribulation period. God has never taken the world or any individual at a disadvantage. You will exactly remember that he warned Adam and Eve, "In that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Genesis 2:17. He told Noah 120 years before the flood that it was going to come. But God provided a way of escape, the ark, to the scoffer. The ark was the biggest joke on the earth at that time. So Noah is preparing the only way of salvation for escaping the flood. Okay, before God destroyed Sodom, he told Abraham what he was going to do. He listened to the pleadings of Abraham, and in reply to those feelings, God said, "Yes, if you can find 50 good men, 40 good men, 30, 20, and finally down to 10 good people, I will save the city." We have the evidence of God looking for this damn good man in the city through the visitation of the two angels coming in the evening in the city of Sodom and entering into the house of Lot. They're looking for the good people that Abraham had thought existed, but they found only four people, Mr. and Mrs. Lot and their two daughters. In Noah's day, the flood came upon the earth as a punishment for the people. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is the days of Lot came upon those cities as a punishment. God allows humanity to go so far, and there's an end iniquity reaching a certain point when the wrath of God is released. God has allowed this present generation to go so far as
its iniquity. And because of his iniquity, there is going to come upon the earth a great sorrow. Great sorrow is has a definite beginning. The beginning of sorrows is to be marked by the return of the remnant of the Jewish people to Palestine. And kingdoms against kingdom, by great famines in many places, pestilences, and by an increase in earthquakes. The beginning of sorrows in Adam's day was the beginning of spiritual death. The beginning of sorrows in Noah's day was when God commanded Noah to build the ark. The beginning of sorrows in Lot's day was when the two angels appeared in Sodom. Evidently, the beginning of sorrows for this day and age began with the World War I because we have had no peace in the world since that time. Bible definitely tells us that the world today, and see if you can find one little error or spill on this earth when there is absolute peace. Scripture, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that was thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Revelation 6, 4, King James Version. Just as there was a definite punishment in the days of Noah and a definite punishment in the days of Lot, so there will be a definite punishment come upon the whole inhabitants of the earth and at the second coming, becoming. Because the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall be also in the days of the Son of Man. Luke 17:26, King James Version. We're not guessing. This thing is actually clearly stated in God's Word. We told plainly what it was in Noah's day, and it was of man. This definite punishment is to be the form of a seven-year tribulation period, but because of its severity of the tribulation, time to be shortened by 7 months and 10 days. Gabriel the angel came to set the sacred straight, and God sent Gabriel down to show and explain a vision to Daniel. And the angel said, therefore, Daniel, understand the matter. And the angel explained the 70 weeks, showing that 490 years of desolation were to be visited upon the Israelites. And during those 490 years, six things were to be accomplished. Number one, transgression will be finished. Two, there will be no more sins. Three, complete reconciliation for iniquity will be made. Four, everlasting righteousness will be brought in. Five, the vision and the prophecy will be sealed up. And number six, well, the most holy one, Christ, will be anointed. For nearly 2,000 years, the historical clock of the Israelites has been stopped. But at the time appointed by God, the remnant of the Israelites is to be gathered from the nation of the earth, reestablished in passion of Palestine, after having wandered among the nations of this world. This is explained in the Old Testament scripture. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people, gather them together, the dispersed of Judah, from the four corners of the earth. That's Isaiah 11, 11 through 12. We've seen further from the book of Daniel that during this seven-year tribulation period, the Antichrist to make a splendid covenant with the Israelites. Scripture, and he shall conform the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. In the middle of the week, he shall come to cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's Daniel 9, 27, King James Version. The Jews mentioned in this portion of the scripture are to accept a guarantee of peace in the 7 years from the Antichrist, which they have no business doing, because it was God who preserved them during their wanderings among the nations for 2,520 years between 603 B.C. and 1917 A.D. So, what business have they accepting a guarantee of peace from an agent of the devil, the Antichrist, before the 7 years of tribulation begins? The church will be raptured, then a real time of iron or trouble is to be let loose upon the earth. That's why the Bible says to the church, Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 21:36 and a King James Version. We here see a visitation of severe years, or 7 years, of the wrath of God upon the Israelites, occasioned by their accepting a 7-year guarantee of peace from the Antichrist. Scripture. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, with standard for the children of thy people, the Jews, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never that time thy brother people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found writers in the book. That's Daniel 12:1, King James Version. And then we have a similar statement in the book of Matthew in the New Testament. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Daniel 24:21-22 in King James Version. Those days are going to be shortened for the 144,000 elect Jews who will be on the earth at that time. When the second coming of Jesus Christ takes place, and I'm speaking about the rapture, the Bible says that there will be 2 men in every one bed, and there's 2 young women living in a hotel together, working at the same office, young men who know each other and work together, her mom, eat and drink, sleep together, and go to places of interest together. The Bible says that these 2 young men will come one night up to their room and undress. One will put his clothes on the hanger and one on another. One will get on one side of the bed and the other on the other side, but one of the young men will not do this until he is knelt in prayer. This young man is born again. A young friend is a scoffer, and the Bible says the scoffer or the unbeliever will be left behind when Christ comes. Scripture, I tell you in that night that there shall be 2 men in one bed, the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Luke 17:34, King James Version. The born-again person will suddenly wake up, sitting up straight in bed, and he'll feel that unusual blessed presence of the Holy Spirit with him, and suddenly he'll rise out of his jammies, clothed in light, a beautiful shining being, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, going up through the ceiling, through the rafters, through the roof, and on through the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But the other young man, the one who scoffed, who laughed and made fun of the Christian young fellow, will be left behind. He will not go to meet Christ in the air when he comes. And all over the world, international commotion will be the order of the day. Born-again businessmen driving their cars down the freeways will suddenly be caught up out of their cars. Born-again grocery store clerks will be caught up, and stores will not be opened. Born-again signalmen on the railroads will be caught up, and the trains will clash into each other. There will be a great railroad accident. Captains will be missing from ocean liners. Born-again soldiers will be caught up, absent without leave. Born-again sailors will be caught up. Born-again Marines will be caught up. Born-again mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters will be caught up to be with Christ forevermore. Praise the Lord. This, my dear friends, will take place immediately before the 7-year tribulation period actually begins. That's why the Bible is filled with so many warnings, urging people to escape all the trouble that's going to come upon the earth during the 7-year tribulation period. Scripture, I tell you in that night, there shall be 2 men in one bed, where one shall be taken and the other shall be left. 2 women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken, the other left. 2 men shall be in the field, the one that shall be taken and the other left. That's Luke 17:34-36, King James Version. The question is, will you be one of the ones taken, or will you be the one of those who will be left behind to go through the awful tribulation period, which will start when we, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, leave this old sinful earth? As we behold the world situation today, we are seeing many bona fide reasons why the nation of Israel will readily accept peace terms granted by the great political figure known as the Antichrist. On practically every hand, the nation of Israel is being persecuted in the Middle East today. The Arab world, 100 million strong, has vowed in his heart to do away with the Israelites. Daniel the prophet, writing in his book, which bears his name, gives us the whole and complete story of 490 years
of dealing with the nation of Israel. 49 years of that time were used in the building of the wall in the days of Nehemiah. From the time the wall was completed until Christ came arriving into Jerusalem was a total of 434 years, leaving only 7 more of the 490 to be fulfilled. During this great time of trouble, known as the tribulation period, that God will deal in a specific manner with the Israelites. God is justified in dealing with the Israelites in the manner described in Scripture because he gave them 196 signs for the first coming of Jesus Christ. We know from past history the Jews were not watching because when Christ came, they rejected him and sold him for 30 pieces of silver, handing him over to the Roman soldiers to be crucified, saying, "His blood be on us and on our children." Matthew 27:25. Because they rejected Christ, their Messiah, God has visited upon the Jewish people a partial blindness which has kept them from seeing and understanding spiritual things in our day. Scripture, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh after, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. For I would not therefore, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fulfillment of the Gentiles be come in. That's Romans 11:7-8 and 25. If this partial blindness and the spirit of slumber, which will permit the Jews to accept the Antichrist as their Messiah, I know there are people who say that the Jews will never accept a satanic personality like the Antichrist, but yet you must remember that we have the Bible which tells us they will accept the Antichrist and his proposal. Scripture, I, Christ, am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another referring to the Antichrist shall come in his own name, him you will receive. That's John 5:43, King James Version. So when this takes place, God will then begin the 7-year tribulation period, which is the balance of the 490 years trouble to be visited upon the Jews predicted by Daniel. And of course, we hear people say today that the world will never accept a personality like the Antichrist. But my friends, may I alert you to the fact that the Word of God says that not only the Jews are going to be punished during the tribulation period, but the whole world is going to suffer severe consequences at that time. Scripture, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth or hindereth will let or hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one, Antichrist, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of righteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, misleading influence, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2:7-12, King James Version. So the world is gradually heading toward the left, away from God, and is generally greatly itself into an unspiritual condition. So it will be very easy for the Antichrist when he comes into power after the misleading influence has come upon the peoples of the earth, with the Jewish people being spiritually blinded and also given over to a misleading influence to take over the complete rulership of this world at that time. We see it taking place now. That is, we see preparatory work being put into operation in our own day and age, which indicates that such is getting very near. Time for the appearing of the Antichrist is near, and that means that the removal of the church is near. It also means the time for entering into the 7-year tribulation period is also near. People who will be saved during the tribulation period can only be saved by confessing Christ and giving out their testimony and permitting themselves to be put to death. Here's the scripture. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Because iniquity shall abound, as love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, meaning the end of his physical life, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:9-13 in the King James Version. It's also confirmed in Revelation 6:9-11, where we see the souls of those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God underneath the altar before the throne of God. You might also read Revelation 20:4 in this connection. reason people will be saved during the tribulation period is because they're going to be held up through the mercy of God by a very little help. Scripture, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, but they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be holpen with a little help. Daniel 11:33-34, King James Version. So we can see that the reason for the tribulation period is to punish the Israelites, as well as other people of the world who have rejected the gospel message of Jesus Christ. How would you like to wake up some morning and find all Christians gone from the earth? How would you like to find a government official standing at your door telling you that you had to have a mark on your right hand in order to buy or sell? How would you like to have someone tell you that you had to bow down before a great image of a man or be tortured to death? How would you like to wake up some morning and find all the rivers and seas temporarily turned into blood? How would you like to find men everywhere smitten with great sores, the light of the sun turned into complete blackness that made the mountains thrown into the sea by a great earthquake, crops burned up, trees burned up, everybody, men and women alike, put into the army and sent to Palestine on the pretext of going to fight the Jews? But is reality going there to be ready to fight against Christ, the Son of God, when he comes back to the earth to reign for 1,000 years? This time of trouble, which I'm just barely scratching the surface in describing, is take place during the 7-year tribulation period. Scripture, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24:21, King James Version. When the tribulation period takes place, there will be no Christians on the earth. Scripture, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, tribulation period, which will come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Revelation 3:10, King James Version. Nothing will happen to this world of an international chaotic nation or nature as far as the tribulation period is concerned until the Christians are removed from the earth. We Christians are the salt of the earth. We are the preserving force. We are the lightning conductor to keep away God's wrath. You remember the two angels told Lot, come out of the city so we can fall, do nothing until you leave. Nothing will happen to this world at an international scale until we, the born again, are taken away, and then the Bible says all hell will break loose. Then this world will be given over to a misleading influence, which will be climaxed by the appearing of the satanic Antichrist, and the people the world will follow after his satanic man. He will guarantee the Jews 7 years of peace, and they will accept him. This is continued in Daniel 9:27. The tribulation period gets into full swing to anyone who professes Jesus Christ put to death. If you want a little idea into the kind of punishment and torture that is going to be exercised during the tribulation period, get a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs and you will get firsthand information as to what satanic minds can devise to torture human beings. First of all, the world is to worship Satan. The false prophet will cause the world to worship the Antichrist. The false prophet will order images made of the Antichrist. Everyone will be compelled to worship the image of the Antichrist or to be put to death. Everyone will have to have a mark stamped on his right hand or on his forehead, or he won't be able to buy or sell. At that time, anyone who acknowledges Jesus Christ will be put to death. 144,000 Jews will be marked on the forehead. God will send down two men from heaven or to govern the earth, during which comes the Antichrist, who will rule the earth for 42 months. There will be no peace on the earth anywhere. There will be famine, great famines in different places. Death will walk rampant throughout the earth during the tribulation period. There will be a great earthquake when given the islands of the seas will slip into the oceans. Bible says the moon will turn into the color of blood and the sun will become black. The stars of heaven shall fall to the earth, the first heaven, which is a band of darkness around the earth, will be removed so the people could look up into heaven during the tribulation period. They will ask the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. Bible says all hail and fire mingled with blood shall fall upon the earth during the tribulation period. A great meteor from the heavens joining with fire will fall into the sea. A third part of the sea will become like blood. A third part of the
you will die. A third part of the ships on the seas will be destroyed. A third part of rivers will become bitter. Men who drink this water will die. A third part of the sun, moon, and stars shall be blacked out. Scorpions will come upon the earth and will torment people for 5 full months. Okay, the Bible says that because of this great trouble, men will seek death and will not be able to find it. In other words, it will be impossible to commit suicide during the tribulation period. The armies for the Battle of Armageddon are to be gathered, so many as 200 million in number, outside the city of Jerusalem. The Bible says everyone who takes the mark or worships the image of the great beast is to break out with grievous sores. The heat of the sun, the people will be scorched with heat. The earth will be visited with a phenomenal darkness. The Bible says the armies gathered for the Battle of Armageddon will be slaughtered, and their blood will flow up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. Jerusalem, the great beloved city, will be divided into 3 parts by an earthquake. The cities of the nations will be demolished. During that last great earthquake, the mountains will be thrown into the seas. Great hail will fail upon the armies at Armageddon. A plague shall come upon the soldiers at Armageddon, and their flesh will consume away slowly, and they're standing in the trenches. Their eyeballs will disappear. Their tongues will vanish. Jesus Christ, together with the saints and angels, will come riding down from heaven on white horses to fight the Battle of Armageddon at the close of the tribulation period. Any soldiers left at the Battle of Armageddon will be destroyed by Christ. Third, the false prophet and the Antichrist will be thrown into the lake of fire. Satan will be bound and put into the bottomless pit. It amazes me how people will scoff at the word of God and go on in their self-satisfied ways, ignoring the warning of God's messengers, and they're going to be as fast as they are and can downgrade at full speed into the tribulation period, which is even now being prepared for its eventual fulfillment. Why a tribulation period? Something upon the earth, the order that God can punish this Jewish nation for having the Gentiles who had refused to accept the message of God. God is going to give them over to a strong delusion. And the next lesson will be the 6 things accomplished by the 7-year tribulation period.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click enter. You'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter
$SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us?
I still got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Lila, Jim, and me.
All right. So, Sister Lila, what do you got for us tonight?
I have a prayer request. Actually, two prayer requests. Make that. A personal unspoken for my friend Heather.
And
a prayer request for me that me and my dad, Uncle Jimmy, that he gets the apartment and that if when he does, if he does, that I could kind of get to move in with him.
Okay. And that's it?
Yep, those are my two top prayer requests right now. And the others are for the first responders, the staff at the nursing homes, and all the other people that are out there in the community.
All right. Well, then, Ruth, you know what to do with these prayer requests, and we ask you to give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here tonight.
All right, Lord, we love and praise your name, and we know that you know everything about what's going on, and you take care of it, and it's obvious that you are very capable of taking care of it. So we have faith and miracles can happen. We just love and praise your name tonight. And I'm having one of those nights where I'm kind of like, it's my age. So have a good sleep, everyone, and God bless everyone. And love the Lord, too, there, and amen.
All right, we ask everybody to join us tomorrow night for Dr. Doug Quick on the Jumbo Braille program, 9 p.m. Eastern. And we say God bless. Good night.
Good night.